answers a little bit. That's fine.
Okay, then. That's fine. Okay, so we'll start. Let me see time. Well, okay, so it's about a minute into the recording. Okay, so just to begin the interview, what is the date and time?
It is July 10th, 2020, and it is about 3 o'clock.
Okay, and what is your name?
Cody Brown.
And the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
Besides work, do grad school. I spend a lot of time outside on the property. I live out on 300 acres, so I spend a lot of time outdoors.
Okay, and where do you live?
Logan, Iowa.
And what is it like to live there?
It's a very small town. It's about 1,200 people, and it's a quiet little town. It's about an hour from Omaha, so it's small enough where I can have the small town life but be able to get into the city if need be.
Okay, and when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it?
I wasn't really sure what to think about it at first. I knew it was a virus. And being I'm from a medical family, I kind of understood what that meant. But with what the World Health Organization was saying, at first, I didn't think it was going to be too much of an issue. I thought it was kind of like the flu, really.
And have your thoughts changed over time?
Yes and no. Obviously, I realize that it's more deadly than the flu. But I've been paying attention to it a lot and looking at the numbers, at least here in Iowa. Less than 1% of the population has tested positive. It's only like 0.2% of the population has even tested positive in the state. So when I look at it in the grand scheme of things, it's more deadly than the flu, but it's not spreading as fast here anyway.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question before we move on to your to talking about employment. So what issues have most concerned you about COVID-19?
I think probably the most concerning for me is the fact that a lot of people are asymptomatic. The flu, if someone has the flu, for example, they're sick. With COVID, you may not know, and you may come in contact with it without having any idea.
Okay, then, thank you. We're going to move on to employment. Has COVID-19 affected your job, and if so, in what ways?
Not really, actually. Being in law enforcement, I still have to do my job on a day-to-day basis. I don't have the opportunity to work from home like some people do. It's made me a little more precautious in my job, I guess, because my interaction with people, the only thing that's changed is if we go to someone's house for a call, we try and do everything outside, like on the front porch or outside the house instead of going into the house just for safety reasons.
Okay, then. What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy, in general?
As far as my employment, no concerns. I mean, being a law enforcement officer, I have to do my job, and my job's always going to be there, especially, a small town like this. As far as the economy, I have seen issues here in the small town. We have a couple of restaurants in town. Being a small town, they really rely on their consistent customers on a day-to-day basis. We don't have a large customer base, and when they shut things down for a while, a couple of restaurants, actually one of them got sold to another family that was going to try and make a go of it, but it's been really difficult financially for some of the small businesses here in town.
Okay, so we're going to move on to talking about family and household. How has COVID-19 affected you and your family on day-to-day activities?
I usually spend most of my time by myself if I'm not working, working on grad school or I'm out here on the property. So I don't have a ton of interaction socially with a lot of people anyway. So my day-to-day activities haven't changed a whole lot. I live 4 hours away from all my family, so my contact with them is by phone anyway for the most part. I do go back to visit, so that really hasn't changed for me either.
Okay, then. And how are you managing your day-to-day activities in your household?
Pretty much the same as I always have. If something needs to be done, I do it. If I got to go get groceries, I go get groceries. I really haven't changed my routine at all. I do wear a mask in places that require it, but if it's not required, I haven't been wearing a mask for the entirety of the pandemic.
Okay, then. Has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with your friends and family?
A little. Not much, though, because, like I said, I don't have a lot of face-to-face contact. You know, I work 12-hour shifts overnight, so my schedule's, 180 degrees different from most of my friends, so I don't get to see them a whole lot anyway. So not a whole lot has changed for me, honestly.
Okay, then. What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
Access to some services has been kind of difficult, just because with the mandated closures of things, I haven't been able to go out and do a few of the things that I normally would do. And I think maybe the interaction with people, with me not wearing a mask, a lot of people don't want to interact with me. But with my job, it's very difficult to wear a mask and do my job effectively.
Okay. One more question. What have you, your family, and friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
I don't see my family a whole lot, so I can't speak to them. I can kind of speak to my brother. He used to go to the gym a lot when they closed the gyms here. Him and his wife bought a bunch of equipment for at home. So they have a home gym. They live right on a block and a half from the lake, so they have their boat. So they've been doing that the same, being out in the open air on the lake. They're pretty safe. I haven't changed a whole lot. I got some workout stuff to do at home because I use the school weight room for my gym, and obviously we can't go to the school right now. But that's pretty much the only thing that's changed for me. I shoot on the property, I hunt on the property, and hike on the property and stuff. So not a whole lot has changed for me in that respect, honestly.
Okay, we're going to move on and talk about the community now. How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community?
A lot less people milling around, a lot less interaction within the community, which is really weird for me because being a small community of 1,200 people, 1,300 people, it's a pretty tight-knit community. Everybody interacts with each other and talks to each other all the time, but that's changed. There's not a lot of people in the parks, not a lot of people, out in public places interacting with each other. It's kind of gotten closer to normal now that we've been in the pandemic for so long. People, I think, are getting stir crazy, but it's definitely weird seeing the lessened interaction within the community.
Okay, then. How are people around you responding to the COVID-19 pandemic?
We've got people on both ends of the spectrum. We have a few people that are extremely concerned about it. I know a few people who have pre-existing conditions, so obviously they're rightfully extremely concerned about it. But we have some people on the other end of the spectrum that are almost pandemic deniers. I wouldn't go that far. They understand that it's an issue and that it's here and that we're not going to get away from it, but they don't see it as severe as a lot of people do. So I've seen kind of both ends of the spectrum, and I do know a couple of people who have been exposed to it. So their families kind of changed their tune once a family member was exposed.
Okay, then. Have you seen the people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities, or relationships in response to the pandemic?
And it's kind of on a sliding scale of the degree to which they've done it. Obviously, I mentioned that the community interaction has changed across the entire community. You don't have, like I said, people, public places and stuff. You still have people that have small gatherings, like in their yard, have barbecues and things like that. And then I think the people who have really changed their perspective are the ones that all of a sudden have a family member or friend that has been affected by COVID. I think it hits home and it's more real to them at that point. We can be out there and not know anybody for quite a while that's ever been exposed to it because it hasn't spread that far yet. And I think once they got that close to home hit, their perceptions have changed a little bit.
Okay, self-isolation and flattening the curve has been the two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, your family, friends, and community responded to requests to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
For myself and my family, you know, I hate to be that guy, but I haven't really followed that a whole lot. Partially because with my job, I can't. I've not really followed that a little bit. And I think the community as a whole, you know, they're not doing huge gatherings as far as like in the parks and stuff like that. But life for the most part has gone on as normal here. In the small town, I think we feel so isolated from it. And we don't see a whole lot of it that, things really haven't changed. People have still been out and about, you know, they still go for walks, walk their dogs. Well, they'll talk to people on walks, but they'll keep their distance a little bit. I think there's been a little bit of response, but I think it's kind of a business as usual for the most part, for most people. And I think in the county I live in currently, there's only been 29 cases total in the county. So our case count's been so low, I just think that people feel isolated from it here.
Okay, one more community question. Has COVID-19 changed your relationship with your family, friends, and community? And if so, in what ways?
Absolutely not. Like I said, business as usual for the most part. I've still gone back north to see my family. You know, I've seen my grandparents and things like that, and they're high risk. And, you know, my grandma, she's in her late 70s. She's got Crohn's, so she has pre-existing conditions. She's very susceptible. But she's kind of in the mindset, if she's going to get it, she's going to get it. If it's her time, it's her time. So really those interactions haven't changed a whole lot.
Okay, then. We're going to move on to health questions now. Have you or anybody you know gotten sick from the COVID-19 outbreak?
I have not that I know of, but I've not been tested. So I suppose it's possible that I would be an asymptomatic carrier. But I don't think so. There is a firefighter on the department here in town who got it. I know him pretty well. He was pretty sick for a while. So I know one person who has gotten it, yes.
Okay, and in what ways do you think the COVID-19 is affecting people's mental or physical health?
Physical health, I think it's one of two things. Either people that are kind of staying in their homes and kind of changing their routines a little bit, if they don't have any home exercise equipment, for example, I think your physical health as far as diet, weight, and stuff like that has definitely gone downhill a little bit. But I also see a lot more people out doing walks, you know, husband and wife, couples, family groups out doing walks. You know, there's been a few kids in the park playing basketball. It's kind of interesting because they're calling for self-isolation, but a lot more high school age kids have been doing activities outside than I've seen in the last few years. So I think the younger population, their physical health has actually probably improved a little bit because they are spending more time outdoors. And I think that's because they're tired of having to isolate. And I think your older generation is maybe more the opposite, where it's not as good. As far as mental health, I think it's taking a toll on everybody. We had our routines. We had our ways that we like to live. And to a certain degree, we can't do that anymore. And I think the isolation has been really hard on people. As a law enforcement officer, I have a little bit different perspective. We have seen an increase in domestic violence calls. People cooped up with each other all the time. It's a serious matter, but, you know, as law enforcement, we kind of make the joke that married couples are not meant to spend that much time together. So we have seen that as far as, and that's a good indicator that mental health is definitely suffering right now.
Okay, we're going to move on to questions about information. What have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
I kind of take news from everywhere. I'm a big believer in knowing as much as I can about as much as I can. Being a history major at Arizona State, obviously history is a, a big passion of mine, but, you know, I like the science, I like the arts, I like a little bit of everything, so I pay attention to a lot of what's going on from a ton of different sources from all over the world. And our mayor here in town has actually been sending out information about the pandemic itself. As he received it from our county public health department, he's been making social media posts, and he does daily ones that keeps us up to date. So that's been really awesome, not only for me, but for the whole community, because that's a trustworthy source of information we have here in town. You know, he's giving information as he's getting it with no changes, and calling for people to behave properly. So that's been really nice as well.
Okay, and have your news sources changed during the course of the pandemic?
Not really, because I've always been kind of one of those people who takes a little bit of everything and finds somewhere in the middle ground is probably the truth. And where things overlap is probably the truth. And that's always kind of been my belief on how to address news. So I think probably my news stuff has been the same. However, I have seen a lot more stuff on social media that is extremely one way or the other. So how I've perceived the media or how I've taken in my media hasn't changed, but I've definitely seen a change in how the media is presented.
Okay, then. And what issues that are important do you think the media is or is not covering?
You know, nationally, I think they're failing to report the positive side of some of the things that are going on. You know, we don't see a lot of recovery rates and things like that, and positive stories coming out in the national news. It's a lot of doom and gloom. So I think national news outlets are definitely dropping the ball on that. You know, they're definitely focusing on the negative and not the positive, and they need to focus on some of the positive as well. As far as locally, the news stations out of Omaha are kind of the same as the national ones. But a lot of our local newspapers, you know, our mayor, they always bring up the, you know, this is how many total cases we have. This is how many are recovered. This is how many currently being monitored. So I think at the local level, there is a lot more focus on the positive. The negative is there. But I think the local level does a much better job at appealing to the people and what the people actually want to know versus pushing the negative side of it. And I think the national media has been real, they've been good about getting out changes in information. But I think that's maybe not necessarily a good thing, because every time something new or something different comes up, it's in the national media. You know, they're saying this, and then 2 days later, they're saying the exact opposite. And then a couple days later, they're saying the exact opposite. They're bouncing back and forth so bad, and they're just picking up on the newest, greatest thing to come out with COVID without waiting for, you know, peer-reviewed of studies and things like that. And I think that's a major issue.
Okay, then. And how have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
Within my town, it's been fantastic. You know, our mayor's been very supportive of the businesses and the people in town, without coming out and saying, hey, we got to make these restrictions. The only restriction he made was back when, at the end of March, beginning of April, when we weren't sure what was going on with the COVID-19 outbreak. And he knew it was a respiratory issue. He did institute a burn ban through the end of May in the city. We can only burn one day a week in the city anyway, as far as like leaves and things like that. But he banned that completely and opened up the city dump for people to take their yard waste and stuff to try and eliminate any other external factors that might cause breathing complications along with COVID-19. So I think at the local level, the response has been fantastic. And I think in a small town, a small community, that's a totally different scenario and a totally different ballgame than, say, a big city like Des Moines or Omaha, or New York City even, you know, a massive city. At the state level, I think our governor's done pretty decent. You know, there's some things I don't agree with that she's done. There's other things that I agree with that I think she's been fantastic. But I think she's been juggling the ball between okay, what do we have to do to keep the state safe? And what do we have to do to make sure that the stability of the economy and people's mental health is maintained as well? So I think she's done a very fantastic job overall. She's got a lot to deal with, but I think she's done a pretty good job.
Okay, and do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
You know, I think the local and state level, they have more of an idea of what's going on in a smaller area. So I think local and state responses are far more important than federal responses, especially in a country as big as the United States. You know, what works in New York City doesn't work in Iowa or doesn't work in Texas or Kansas, but it might work in California just because your population and your cultures are a little bit different. So I think federal guidelines are good, but I think the ultimate decisions need to be left up to the state and the local levels because they know their population base and they know their area much better than people at the federal level do.
Okay, and has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community, and if so, in what ways?
Not really. You know, my mom's been a nurse for 34 years now, I think. Obviously her response is kind of how I expected it to be. My perception of how my dad handles things like this, I kind of thought that he might be a little more uptight about it, but he's pretty nonchalant through this whole thing and pretty resistant to any restrictions, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But as far as community and friends, not really. You know, I've been pretty proud to be in this town and how the people have interacted and treated each other. I think the pandemic has really showed that we do have that kind of community here. So, you know, my perception was just reinforced, I think, with the community.
Okay. How does this pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
Let's see. Big events that happened in my lifetime. I remember 9/11 very well. I was in middle school when it happened. I can recall exactly where I was. I remember how the country acted after 9/11. And I think this is a complete 180-degree shift from how the country reacted. You know, after 9/11, the country came together. You know, we were all one. But this pandemic has really, really created some very severe divisions within this country. You know, there's a major us versus them mentality with this. I don't think it's the pandemic itself that's caused that. I think over the last, you know, 19 years, I think society of the United States has changed and driven us to that. And the pandemic really highlighted how society has changed. I was in the Navy during the H1N1 pandemic. And I remember thinking about that. And, you know, I was a 19-year-old kid at the time. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I wasn't sure. I didn't have a lot of world experience, so I was pretty terrified of that. I actually got H1N1 during that. So there's a difference right there. I haven't gotten COVID yet, and I got H1N1 during that pandemic, and it was absolutely awful.
Okay, and how can you imagine your life being in a year?
How can I imagine it being in a year? You know, that's kind of hard to predict because that's going to depend on the next few months and how the next few months go. And in all honesty, I think that's going to depend on what happens in November with the election. I think that's going to be a huge determining factor of what happens a year from now because a situation like this, you know, I would say for the worse, has become very political. It's not been a... it's been a public health issue, but there's been a massive political component to it. And I think that's going to be a big driving factor in how things look in a year. I would expect that COVID's going to hang around. I'm hoping that, you know, the next round, this next winter, isn't as severe as this one. You know, if we have a vaccine, that's going to change. You know, I hope we have a vaccine by then. I think there's maybe still going to be precautions in place forever, for better or for worse. I think that's what it's going to look like in a year. We're going to have precautions. I don't foresee us wearing masks like we are now a year from now, just because of the mentality of the American people. You know, we might tolerate this for, you know, the next few months, but I think, you know, if we don't have a huge spike come November, you know, November, December time, when the flu season's in full swing, I think you're going to see a lot of people be like, I'm done with this. I'm over with this. So I don't foresee things looking like they do now, but I don't necessarily foresee a full return to normal either.
Okay. And what do you hope your life is like in a year?
I would hope, you know, this might be a pipe dream, but I would hope, you know, things are back pretty much to how they were before, you know, the whole COVID pandemic started. I don't know if that's necessarily feasible. I think in a rural area like I'm in, I think things are going to probably go back to normal here. But I think, you know, you got the cities like Omaha and stuff like that, you get to some of the more populous states, and I don't think that's going to be that way. But I think here, it's going to be pretty much business as usual within a year from now.
Okay, and this is the last question. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals... Sorry. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I think for the future, we need to be prepared for something like this to happen again. I think this caught us on our heels. I don't think we were ready for this. But I would say that would be the biggest thing, is we need to have proper precautions in place if something like this does happen again. Now, I think proper precautions include proper equipment response and policy response, but I don't think proper response should include a massive shutdown like it did this time. I think the massive shutdown was a response to the fact that we were unprepared for this situation, and that was the only option we had because of our unpreparedness. So I think that's a huge thing, because I think pandemics are going to start becoming more and more common. As we get a larger population and we start living in closer proximity to livestock and things like that, you know, and wild animals, the virus mutation has spread from animals to humans, which is where most of our viruses come from, is going to start increasing. And I think with, you know, the current climate change going on and the thawing of the permafrost in Siberia and things like that, you know, reading a lot of science type stuff, I think some diseases that we haven't been exposed to as humans for thousands of years, you know, they're going to start reappearing slowly first, but I think there's definitely more pandemic potential out there. So being prepared for those situations is huge.
Okay, then. Well, thank you for your time. I'm going to stop the recording right now.